vow an appeal if the judge rules against their client. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 86 points, the NASDAQ off 110, the S&P 17 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good morning and good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Let's Face the Issues. This is Brother Davis sitting in for Dr. Youngblood on today. And I certainly thank God for you supporting us the way that you do from time to time with your generous gifts. And even if you just pray for us that we're successful at what we're trying to do, thank God for your prayers and each and everything that you do for us. We don't take anything for granted, from the smallest to the greatest. We thank God for everything all together. Want to give a shout out to my good friend, Chief Wesley Green, one of the finest chiefs of police that I know, and the police department here, the men in blue here in Folkston, Georgia. They give us great service, the best of service, all our EMTs. And each and everyone else that might be listening, Mayor Gowen, each and everyone, I mean, all the way from St. Mary, Georgia, clean back to Folkston, Brunswick, Waycross, every place that you are hearing the sound of my voice on today, we thank God for you, and we just want to say hello and thank you so much for supporting the program. And while I'm at it, lest I forget, let me say I want to commend the citizens of Charlton County for how they came out from their places of business, from their jobs, and how they stood out on the sidewalks on Wednesday as the motorcade passed through Folkston with the body of Sergeant Kennedy Sanders, the young lady that lost her life overseas in the bombing, as they proceeded with the motorcade through Folkston, Georgia. A country boy was out there. I was there, out there, and they said her favorite color was purple, and I was out there holding purple balloons, and others had purple signs, and different things like that, or writings, you know, that they wanted to express condolences to the family. I just want to say thank God for you. A job well done. We let them know that Folkston, Georgia also cared, even though she wasn't directly from here, but she has kin people here. There are people that live in Folkston that is kin to Sergeant Sanders. So, again, we say thank God for you, and we commend you for a job well done, Folkston, Georgia, how we pay tribute to the young lady. And then right now, I also want to pay tribute, want to send condolences, our heartfelt condolences and wishes out to the families of all the other soldiers that lost their lives. There were 3 of them that lost their lives in that bombing. And then we have just bereaved families, those who have lost loved ones. We send our condolences and our prayers and best wishes out to you on today, and pray that God will strengthen your heart and mind and keep you strong in the Lord that you might be able to go through in the days to come. This is what our God does. He is the very blessed when it comes down to blessing us with exactly what we need. So this is why we should be trusting, believing in God, studying his word, and knowing what the word of God says, so that when the time comes, we will be able to go to the Bible and pull the word from there that will fit our time of need. 904-831-0917. That call gets through the studio right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions or comments. Give us a call. Amen. So we're talking about why should a Christian study scripture? And we have already discussed the book of John, chapter 19, the book of John, chapter 20, and then 2 Timothy 2 and 15. But I want you to know that there are supplementary verses, and we won't go to them for the sake of time, but I do know some of them by heart. One of my favorite is Romans chapter 15, verse 4. All things were written aforetime for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Listen to those words, the way that that's written. Those are words from the pages of scripture. And they are so encouraging. All things, not some things, all things in the Bible, in other words, were written, can I say, before time, but it says afore. But it was written before we ever got here. But it was written for our learning. How are you going to learn it if you don't read it, if you don't study it? It's not going to be beneficial to you, and you're not going to know anything about the power of an almighty and an on-time God. Oh, I feel so good when I think about that. Amen. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's almighty, and he's all-powerful, and he's on time. I heard another pastor say, the great Pastor Grady from Savannah, Georgia, say, he's the slowest man I know, but he's still on time. Whatever time he shows up, he always has something there for you. When he comes, he's going to have exactly what you need for your situation. This is what I love, amen, about the God that we serve on today. So all things, Romans 15 and 4, were written aforetime for our learning, that we, talking about the true believers, through patience, see, we have to be patient. We can't get in a hurry. A lot of times, like I said before, the news break, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers right away, but we are some of the most impatient people. We live in an impatient society. We want everything right now, Johnny, on the spot. We got instant oatmeal. We got instant this. We got microwavable that. We want things to get done quick. And if we aren't careful, that's why we are doing harm to some of our bodies, because some of this food takes time. It requires time to cook before it's fitting for you to eat it. But we want to microwave it and get it out of the way right quick, and then just eat it up. So we have to learn, my friend, we have to be patient and wait on God, that it says that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And this is what the scriptures will do for you on today. As you read and study those scriptures, they'll give you patience. They'll give you comfort. They'll let you know that God is an on-time God. I believe we've got Jose on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, brother, it's great what you're talking about, especially the importance to know the Bible, you know what I mean? That way, amen, you can defend the faith in a polite way, because there's so many crazy things being thrown out there that people is like nodding and clapping just like sea lions. They don't make no sense. They just clap and they agree with people, and you hear, wait a minute, is that in the Bible? No, it's not. And I think these people are proving an amen to everything because they had no clue what the Bible says. And sad to say, but in many churches, they don't even have Bible studies anymore. They remove that. They only got one service a week. And that's not enough to feed your soul, you know what I mean? And that's, amen, one of the issues that I have. Most of those churches are collecting dust Monday through Saturday, you know what I mean? And on Sunday, amen, 1 hour, and God forbid you as a pastor take longer than an hour, because you know the Jaguars are playing. or the Steelers are playing on TV. So you better hurry up and finish, and they can go and sit down in front of the TV for hours, and that is okay. So I think it's a big how can I say this? The spiritual being is not being fed as it's supposed to be. That's why so many Christians are doing so many crazy things, and they try to justify, you know, and people agree with them. But if you look and you know the scripture, you should be standing against those things and saying, no, that's your interpretation. But this is what the Bible says. So I think that's the, I blame the churches because they remove the Bible studies and Sunday school. And they're not instructing the new Christians that come into our churches. We're not doing the teaching that it was done years ago, maybe 10, 20 years ago. It's sad to say that, brother. It's really, really sad. And many people, they had no fear of the Lord. They are in the service. I was at the service Sunday. And I saw somebody watching on the pastor was preaching, and they were on Facebook in the middle of the service. I was like, are you kidding me? But anyway, those are signs of the last days, brother. And I really appreciate you and the other brother when they speak, because we need to hear that. We need to be challenged, and we need to be taught what the Bible says. Thank you very much, brother. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Jose, for your call and for your comments. That's so true. You hit the nail right on the head. I have been in many services where, while the preacher is up preaching, some of the members or some of the people sitting out in the pews will be on Facebook. They'll be text messaging people instead of listening to the word of God. And listen, those are the main ones that end up a sacrificial lamb for the devil. Because the preacher could be giving you a word that's going to be beneficial to something that either you have already been through or something that you are getting ready to face. Because I'm a firm believer that before you get ready to go through anything, God is already waiting right there to bring you out. But when he sends a word through his anointed ministers that might be beneficial to a situation you are getting ready to go through, your mind is in the wrong place. It's in every place but the right place, because you're thinking about Facebook. And you'll be surprised, Brother Jose, you're exactly right. On Sunday, I see a lot of people, instead of being patient until the services are over, they're sitting there looking at their watches or the clock, wishing for the pastor to hurry up and get through so they can go home. And all they're going to do is go home and sit down to the table, get a plate of food, throw the Bible in the corner. And like you said, that Bible will pick up dust and they won't pick it up again until the following Sunday, if they pick it up again at all. Or if not that, like some of them did on last week, they were in a hurry to get back home to go and watch the Super Bowl. My God, listen, we must know and understand, God said anything you serve other than him, that's your God. Money can be your God. Your spouse can be your God. Your children can be your God. Your job can be your God. Your home can be your God. Money can be your God. Listen, God wants all of you, or he won't have none of you. Know this. It's important for us to know as believers. Listen, that's why I said that at the beginning of this broadcast. We must understand why believers, Christians, must study scripture. First, it's commanded in 2 Timothy 2:15. And then I gave you reasons coming from the book of John. You must study so that you will know how to believe God. You will know how to believe his word for your situation. Again, every time we get ready to go through something, there is a word out there for that. God has a word waiting for you right now. Somebody may be sick and laying in the hospital listening to my voice right now. God has a word for you. Some of you may be in your home facing personal problems, financial problems, listening to the sound of my voice right now. God has a word for you, but you must study to show yourself approved. You must read the Word of God, and when you study to show yourself approved, in other words, show God that you know His Word, when you find that Word, I guarantee you, you'll find that Word for that personal situation, for that financial situation, for that health situation, whatever you're facing right now, you will find a Word in the Scripture for that situation, and when you read that Word and pray it back to Him and say, God, You said, You never leave me nor forsake me. That's just an example. And God, I'm trusting in You based upon Your promise to me as a believer. I'm Your child. You know, I'm so glad that even though I know that we're not divine just like Jesus Christ, but since you have been blood washed and born again, God looks at you just like He looks at His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in St. John chapter 1, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons, and can I say daughters? Because He means that as well. But they are the sons of God. So if God are looking at you as His Son, then He must be your Father. You must understand, just like your earthly father does everything he can do. I'm talking about a good father, not a deadbeat. God's not a deadbeat. But our good earthly fathers that care for us, God is going to care for us likewise and even more when it comes down to Him doing what He has to do, because He's the Almighty Father. He's the all-knowing Father. He's the all-providing Father. So let us learn how to trust in Him. I believe we got a call from Jim on today. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Brother Davis, how are you today?
Oh, Brother Jim, I'm doing fine. How about you?
Good, good. I'm going to call you onto the floor there. You were talking about instant gratification and instant oatmeal, and you're a country boy and you didn't even bring up grits.
Oh, my God. You got me right there, Brother Jim.
Be still and know that I am God, or know that I am the Lord. There comes to my mind from everything you're saying today. And you're right, the best color for a Bible is red. Because your pastor may be standing in front of you, and he may say something that's not quite the truth, because he's having an off day, and it's, you know, as a congregation member or a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to meditate on His Word. You have to absorb that Word. You have to read that Word. And you have to place Amen. It on your heart. That way you won't be deceived in the day of tempting or the day of test. So I encourage everyone out there to have a godly day, read your Bible, meditate on His Word, because it brings me personally a lot of peace and solace. I've not had an easy life, and I can tell you that it helps. It really, truly does. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is—he is the only way. You cannot stand in front of the throne unless Jesus is your advocate. So, live it, love it, learn it. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I got to say, Brother Davis.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Jim, for your call and for your comments. And yeah, you put me on the spot right there. I did forget about my grits. Praise God. Thank you so much, Brother Jim. I'll try to keep it in the rules from here on out. Amen. Because okay. I am a country boy. Amen. I love my country breakfast. Let me not go through food right now. I don't want to make myself too hungry. And I don't want to make you all hungry. I want to keep your mind focused on the Word of God. So, I mean, natural food is good, but spiritual food is the best. So let me just put it that way. I'm going to get back to the Scripture. Amen. But going back to what you just said, Brother Jim, concerning, you know, how the Scriptures make you feel, how the Bible makes you feel, that's what it's designed to do. Let me go back to Romans 15:4. All things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort, that goes back to what you said, you are comforted when you read the Scripture. All right. I have found this to be true in so many cases. I have gone to visit families that's lost loved ones, and believe you me, every case scenario is different. You can't tell anyone how to grieve, but being a seasoned minister of the gospel, we know how to select certain passages from the Scripture to give that family or that person comfort and hope that God will be there with them as they go through that situation, and he's going to bring them out. Listen, let's make sure we keep the context. Dr. Youngblood stresses that many times, context, 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 and he says it five times for a reason, because he wants you to know how important context of Scripture is. If you take it out of context, he says it's a pretext, so therefore it should never be used for a text. It makes a lot of sense. But here's what we need to understand. If we go back to Israel when they were in Egypt, when they came out of Egypt and got to the Red Sea, God didn't take them around the Red Sea. He didn't take them under the Red Sea. He didn't take them over the Red Sea. And he didn't permit them to go back to Egypt, because Pharaoh and his army was right on their heels. He told Moses to stretch out his rod, and he parted the Red Sea, and he took his people through. So that's my point. God is going to take you through, because that's the best way for you to go. And I found this out through way of experience. When he brings you through a situation, it becomes more effective for your learning, so that the next time you face another situation, may be a little bit more difficult than the first one, you will have always learned what God will do, and you can apply that to this situation that you are presently facing right now, and be confident that God brought me through the first time, and he's going to bring me through this time. How many of y'all believe that? 904-831-0917. That call get through to the studio right to our microphones, so we can entertain your questions or comments. Amen. But it's important for us as Christians. And again, I'm just going to name other verses of Scripture that we should study. John 5:39. Jesus said, and I know that one by heart, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they that testify of me." That's comfort to the believer, that if you think you have eternal life, or eternal life abides in the Scriptures, then he say, search them. We will never know them all in entirety. Let me put it that way. I know several preachers in the past that have lived. Some have gone on to be with the Lord. I forget the man that they call the walking Bible, Jack Van Impe. Jack Van Impe. He could stand before the TV screen and just quote Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. And thank God for that. I mean, I'm hoping he was truthful with that, the way he was doing it. But still yet, I mean, the method that he used. Every time he spoke about a subject, he had a Scripture to give you, to help you to know that there is something for that situation in the Word of God. And here it is. He knew just exactly what to tell you. But this is what I'm trying to encourage you to be able to do today. You may not be able to do it like Jack Van Impe, but you do it in your way. At least you need to know as a believer that it is in the Bible. And if you hear it recited again or repeated, it's going to ring a bell down in your soul, because you're going to know the Spirit of God within you is going to bear witness to that word. Then you will know for a surety that that is the Word of God. And another thing, getting back to what you said, Brother Jim, about how it's important for us to know, because pastors are pastors doesn't mean that they can't make mistakes. There are many times pastors have gotten into the heat of the moment and preaching or teaching a word and get caught up into trying to get a point over to sometime they can and will misquote a Scripture. Now, great example. My pastor told me about this one time, how some people were assembled at a church, and a pastor was up there preaching the message, and he was preaching so fast until he turned around and said, "And Jonah swallowed the whale." Instead of "the whale swallowed Jonah," he said, "And Jonah swallowed the whale," and people were jumping up saying, "Amen." What a catastrophe. I mean, that should have been an embarrassment. That tells me that if they jump up and amen something like that, then you haven't read that for yourself, and you haven't You don't know what it says. So how can you amen something that you don't even know about, that you've not read or known that is in the scripture? And I just use that for an example. Many other things can happen like that down through the years. As we continue to hear the word of God preached and taught, it's important for us to know the scripture for ourselves. So for the sake of time, let me go on down to the next question. How can a person know that he's saved? And we use, as pastors, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And when it gets to verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We want to encourage you with that. Whosoever, that takes all the stops out of it. You may be rich, you may be poor, you may be black, you may be white, you may be Chinese, you may be Mexican, whatever the case might be. God had no respect to persons. He said, whosoever with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. When you know the word of God, you believe that unto righteousness. And then with the mouth, he said, confession is made unto salvation. So these are the steps, we call it the Roman road, that you must take in order to be saved. So we also can draw reference from Acts chapter 16, verses 30 to 31. That will tell you the same thing about being saved. And then how can you be sure that you are saved? Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. How can you be sure that you are saved? And next, when will Jesus return? And I'm just cutting this short for the sake of time. 1 Thessalonians 4. 13 through 18, Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 through 28, and there are many others that tells us about the return of Christ. We're talking about the rapture. It's going to take place in that order, after the rapture of the church. Then is going to come the 7 years tribulation, the tribulation and the great tribulation. After that, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then after that, the second coming of Christ to rule in the millennium. Then after that, time is going to be wrapped up, because we're going to stand before God to give an account for him for the thing that we've done in this body, whether it was good or bad. For the Christian, you're going to receive your reward. But for those who don't know Christ, you're going to stand in the great white throne judgment, where it's going to be fearful to fall in the hands of an angry God. So, my friend, be encouraged today. Know and understand that it's important for you to know what the Bible says. Study scripture. Be sure that you're saved. Be sure that you know and assured that Christ is coming back, because one day he's going to return to this earth as Savior and as Lord. Thank you for joining us on today. Come back and join us the next time as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them.